You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Game of Thrones After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Game of Thrones After Show.
Hey guys, what is happening? The season finale is here of Game of Thrones, and man, was it exciting!
It was awesome.
So awesome.
But before we start, you may notice a face next to me that may be familiar to you, may recognize him from The Killing, or once he starts talking, you may recognize his voice from Infamous 2, amongst other games. We have Eric Layden with us here tonight. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. It's great to be here, and having watched the finale of Game of Thrones with you guys, anytime I get to sit next to a guy with a sword, I'm a
That's how we do it here, so yeah. You know. But it's a little broken, but that's okay. I can still use it. Watch out.
It's the effect.
So I'm wondering, you just started watching with the season one DVD, correct?
I did.
How quickly did you get through that?
24 hours.
24 yeah. hours. So, guys, you know, true fan here with us. And joining us, as always, the lovely Kristen Snyder.
What's up, guys?
Simone Boyce.
Hi.
And I am Dave Klein. And in the booth today, we have Ronnie Jr.
I am joined by Marissa. I'm joined by Christina, the amazing PR individual. Yeah, we're equally as excited, and we're not Game of Throners, you know. So tell us what happened, you know.
This is a full house booth. But let's get right to the episode, because there was so much. We had every single storyline. It almost feels like we had more storylines as people are starting to branch out. So let's jump in. The first scene of the episode, Tyrion, he's back, he's awake, he is alive. What do you guys think of this opening scene?
I should probably just mention that I am in costume. This isn't I usually wear, so I'm dressed as a Dothraki tonight.
I'm Sansa or someone special from the castle.
First scene.
A man is Jaqen H'ghar.
And who are you tonight, Eric?
I didn't get the costume memo.
Oh.
And my people will hear about that because I would have come as Khaleesi.
Oh.
Or Brienne. That would have been a toss up.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking maybe Brienne.
All right. Yeah. I mean, you are both blonde.
Yeah.
And you're probably incredibly tall when you stand up.
Incredibly
people can't
tall.
Tell, but incredibly
no.
tall.
Yeah. I'm actually sitting on the floor right now.
I had no idea. So I should mention something that Simone also noticed with Tyrion, which is in the books, 3/4 of his nose is chopped off. And this is something we should mention because it seems like it's kind of a big deal. And I think this is probably for costume purposes, a reason that they decided not to take 3/4 of his nose off. But you were a little upset about it.
I was. I was a little miffed because I think that, I mean, Tyrion is a character that everyone can identify with and really empathize with. So this was something in the books when part of his nose is just lopped off. It's something that gets us even more, it makes us feel for him even more at this point because it's just like, how many more blows can this guy take, literally? So, I mean, I think also, like you, I think this was probably just to cut corners as far as makeup and all that stuff goes. But I literally pictured him looking like a zombie, almost, like with his nose off and like his bones showing.
He belonged with the White Walkers, is what you're saying.
I would have liked to see more of that. I really feel like now the biggest part of this was he's no longer Hand of the King, and a lot of people were betrayed this episode, just like Tyrion. I feel like he was betrayed because, like they said in the episode, they wouldn't still be there. They would have been defeated if it wasn't for him. Stannis' people betrayed him, left him. Tyrion's people left him, and also Theon. So I just feel like betrayal was a huge part of this episode. But I'm kind of sad that he either didn't look extremely gruesome or that he didn't die, because he's no longer our Hand of the King, and I was expecting a big death this finale.
Just so you know, Eric, Kristen loves death and people dying, and she's very morbid.
She loves blood and gore. And
if you're not going to kill him off, why are they there?
I'm with you, and I think that's one of the things that this show actually does really well, is the fact that they don't, you know, you never watch this show and say, well, they won't die because they're a lead or they're a regular. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not scared to kill someone off. So now you've gotten to the point where you kind of watch nervously, feeling who's gonna die.
Totally. And at this point last season, we had just lost Ned Stark, exactly, which was like
huge,
unexpected.
Right. Which, in my opinion, season one deaths were more exciting than season two, because I feel like the characters that died season one were more important to season one than in season two. I would have liked a character who we followed around more in season two to die.
But I like Tyrion a lot. I was so sad when Ned died, I guess, that I'm kind of like, all right, I'm glad Tyrion's still here. Because, like, in the books, too, I was like, oh, crap, is he still alive? What happened? So I'm glad he survived for the sake. He's a character I like a lot. And if we lost Tyrion, we're kind of losing characters that I'm rooting for.
Yeah.
So I guess, like,
that. I agree.
Just somebody else who was bigger, I thought we could have lost.
Did you guys feel like, because, okay, when the bandage was revealed, it honestly is like, it's a scratch. It's a pretty big scratch, but it's a scratch on his face. So did you feel like that was enough to, like, knock him out and make us think that he was dead?
You want him, like, mangled. I mean, yeah, you're pissed.
It's just, you know, I had different expectations.
Right,
but,
I hear you.
Did you guys believe that, like, that he could have been dead just from that scratch?
You know what I'll say? The Woody Man.
He's a dwarf. Yeah, he's a
little
man.
Person.
Sorry.
Which is why we could all relate to him.
I'll say that. The Woody Man on the chat, I'm going to throw out there, says that he thinks he looks horrible, so he seems to approve of it.
All right.
But you know what? I think he looks pretty banged up there myself, because it is his entire face now. He has a giant cut through the entire thing.
Yeah.
I can't say I know what it feels like to be cut by a sword, despite the fact that I wield one, because I'm that proficient with the sword that no one's cut me with it yet, because I always fend them off. So I don't know what a cut that deep on the face would feel like. So probably would make you pass out, I guess.
Yeah.
Especially when you're betrayed.
And especially when you, like, Tyrion hasn't been in battle very much. So, I mean, I think he was only in battle one time last season. So this is probably pretty jarring for him to be on the front lines.
I think he should be done with battle.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like 0 for 2. It's not going well.
He's better up here than he is, like,
which is
down on the ground.
Which is what he says to Shay.
Exactly.
That was kind
right.
of a great moment with Shay, where he kind of tells her, this is what I'm good at. I'm actually happy doing these things. And he's found something other than drinking and whoring that he really likes, that makes him feel big, like more than a half man.
Well, and he actually mentions that, I think it's earlier in this season, when he talks about, you know, he doesn't win with the sword, he wins with his mind.
Right, yeah.
You know, reading books has always been his weaponry.
Yeah, I think that was...
I mean, he knows that.
I think that was talking with Varys a few episodes ago when they were doing the War Council.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what is he going to do now, though? I mean, Shay wants him to take off and leave with her. He says no way. So they're just going to stay there. But what is his duty going to be? It doesn't look like... I mean, Tywin's now the Hand of the King.
Well, he's smart. I think he'll figure out some way, something to do, because that's where he's good, is using his brain. So I'm sure he'll figure something out. Something I do want to say before we move on is I did like that the first thing he called for was Podrick. Mm-hmm. I like that they've been including that and using Podrick, because Podrick did save his life in the last episode, and they've been slowly incorporating him in, and I like that. But let's move on to Tywin, his horse dropping a dump right in the king's...
fantastic.
In the Iron Throne, which was great, because that was also something that happened in the book that I was like, oh, I'm glad they kept that. Because
I thought you were joking.
No, they really... That was part of the book.
Yeah, I did too. I forgot about that part.
Right when Tywin's...
That's not the action I was looking for.
I was like, yes! Poop! All right! I'm excited!
Now we know why you watch the show.
I watch it for poop being thrown at Joffrey. I watch it for poop coming out of horses. That's why I watch the show.
I want to know, if that's not real poop, what is that?
It's chocolate.
Is it chocolate?
Yeah.
Chocolate?
Chocolate mousse.
I was going to say, like, some dirt with, like, mud type... I don't know.
Maybe wishful thinking. It's probably not chocolate.
Now I like it a little bit more.
But all right, let's move. It shows such an like, he comes in on his horse. I mean, it's so, and he lets his horse,
yeah,
you know, just crap right there on the king. I mean, I love it. It's so irreverent and just like, you know, even though, yeah, he's the hand of the king, it really shows, you know, he's, you know, not going to probably take much from him.
I guess like the way that I interpreted, at least from the reading, was just that, I guess I just took it as horses. Even something as minor as a horse, they don't really aren't part of this world, and a horse is just going to take a dump wherever it's going to take a dump, even if it's in the presence of the king. So I was just sort of taking it more as that when I read it.
I took it more of him just not really caring. He didn't put his pin on when he gave it to him.
Oh, that's true.
And then he just basically said, thank you. He held his pin and turned around and left. You know, it's not like he put it on and, you know, there wasn't any sort of action. I mean, I really felt like he just kind of, okay, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. Totally an interesting visual, like just seeing him, like when everyone else is on the ground, it's almost like he thinks he's above that. And when Littlefinger comes up to accept his, you know, reward from the king, he's on the ground. He's not on a horse. So I think that, like you said, is Tywin's sort of, you know, irreverence, just
totally.
Yeah. Just wanting to be one notch above everyone else.
So what we should also mention then is that they had this whole conversation with Margaery of, can Joffrey get married to Margaery? Oh, what do you know? Well, there's kind of this loophole here where this arrangement was made before we knew that Ned was a traitor. So it's okay, you don't have to marry Sansa anymore. Hooray, you can marry Margaery. So that's a pretty huge moment. And I like that Littlefinger kind of walks in and explains to Sansa, just so you know, this really isn't as good as you thought it was.
Right.
She was kind of celebrating for a moment.
Right. Yeah. You see her walk off and she's like smiling, and then Littlefinger's like,
I thought she might have been upset for when they first showed her, and then you sort of got how she was really feeling, and that sort of just shows how much she's been hiding her true feelings throughout this whole season.
I actually wondered for a moment though if, and forgive me, I can't remember his name, when he came up, when the Meister comes in and actually
Grand Maester Lewin, or Pycelle?
He came up and actually explained the loophole, if he actually wasn't trying to do her a favor.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, because he knows, and really and truly, you know, Joffrey's mom, you know, she knows, they know that she's not in love and how much, you know, I think there actually is a part of her that sees herself and her husband inside of her, you know, when she sees her and doesn't necessarily, there's probably just a small part of her heart that knows, well, you know, I don't want her to go through that. I don't know. As evil as she is, I think there might be just a little bit of.
But what's Margaery's motivation for wanting to be queen?
That is going to be a nasty pair.
Margaery just wants to be queen, straight up. She said it. She's like, I want to be queen. I want to be Cersei. So.
I mean, we do get that. Margaery just wanted to be queen for the whole marriage with Renly, because Renly was pretty straight up gay, and she knew that she wasn't going to get anything from Renly.
Yeah.
Right.
And she's like, that's all right. You can do whatever you want with Loras, my brother. I don't care. As long as you put a baby in here, it's all good.
Which I thought was very awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a good wife.
Oh, the best of wives.
She was very understanding. And honestly, I think Natalie Dormer, who plays Margaery Tyrell, is one of the standouts of the season. Yeah. Like, she just did an amazing job playing such a patient yet wise young to be queen. Like, she was just amazing to watch this whole season.
But I'm going to say that I liked how Sansa did her reaction too. I liked that. And I was actually kind of wondering for a bit, because in the book, you know she's excited, but she's trying to hide it. So it was good. I was kind of like, is she trying to hide it or not? I can't tell, because she looks like she's genuinely disappointed she doesn't get to be queen. So that was good.
I think there's also that thought probably in her mind that, well, if I'm not his queen, maybe he's just going to kill me. So, I mean, because that's what I would be thinking. Like, well, if he has no use for me, then maybe they're just going to get rid of me. But at the same time, I guess she is sort of like the last remaining Stark bargaining token that the Lannisters have.
So Baelish actually proposes to her that he would take her home to the North. And she says that her home's in King's Landing. So do you think she just doesn't trust Peter Baelish?
I don't think she trusts anybody. And you know what? I don't think we got any conclusion with the Hound either, other than just that scene didn't happen. They never had. Clearly, she's here and the Hound just left. And I don't know why they changed that scene from the books anyways, because in the books, the Hound never asks her to leave with him. He just wants a song. But everybody's basically asking to take her home and take her to leave, except for who it is in the book. So I'm not going to mention in case they do finally bring that guy through, which I don't know why they keep doing that. But it's like, I'm just looking at her in the show sense of, why are you not leaving with these people who keep giving you opportunities? It makes her seem really dumb.
Right.
But maybe she's smart because she just doesn't trust them, which I think that's what it really is.
Or she feels like if she stays there, you know, her Rob is going to come and, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
Maybe she's waiting for her prince.
I guess I don't know how much she actually knows, though, about what's going on she with
might.
The war.
Yeah, she might actually not. That's
so I don't know.
I don't think Sansa is the brightest...
No.
Flower.
Yeah.
Let's go, dove. The brightest dove.
Yeah, the brightest dove in King's Landing because she's just, she doesn't have the wit or the strength that her sister Arya has. So I don't even know sometimes, like, what is going through her head. Like, especially, like you said, like with the Hound when he basically offers her a way out. And, like, the Hound is a pretty, I mean, he's a warrior. So you know that he's going to protect her. And that would probably be my choice if I had to run away with someone.
But she fears him because he's a killer.
Yeah. I would say so too. Before we move on, one quick thing I want to mention is Varys with Roz, and
right.
that Varys is kind of pointing out a little finger looks at you and sees a series of profitable holes, which
great
is a great quote
yeah.
there.
It's a great line.
Perhaps the homily of the episode.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dan and David. That
so,
was great.
But basically, Varys is trying to use Roz. So Roz, her character, not from the books, gains some more action despite that replacement earlier
in the
season.
I'm not sure exactly what Varys' plans are for her, though.
I think she's going to try and use her as a spy, in a sense, mm-hmm. to see what Littlefinger's doing.
Right.
That would be my guess. So let's move on then to Stannis Baratheon, the loser of this big battle from last week. Big time loser.
What I want to know is how did he get out of there alive?
Yeah,
I
don't
know. Like, last episode, everyone was, like, tugging him, bringing him in, and it looked like he was going to be presented to Joffrey. So how is he just back with the witch?
Apparently the witch did something.
I mean, wasn't he also yelling at his men as he was on the battlements,
right.
like, stay, stay, what are you guys doing,
maybe
stay?
Maybe it was the smoke baby.
Yeah.
came through.
Came on a chariot and just
yeah.
Maybe it was
out.
The smoke baby the whole time fighting, and
mm-hmm.
he had a double.
Yeah.
There you go.
You never know. It's
so
the magic of Game of Thrones.
So he's pissed off in this scene at Melisandre, because basically he says that she promised him victory, she saw it in the flames, and he strangles her and says, where is your god now? Which was a pretty strong scene. I hate Melisandre, so I like seeing
that.
Her get
yeah.
choked.
What do you guys think as far as like the validity of the Red God now that Melisandre's prophecy didn't really come true? Do you guys believe that the Red God is still powerful?
Well, I'm confused because Jochen actually talks about the Red God,
mm-hmm.
and it seems definitely valid whenever Jochen's around. So Melisandre, and I mean the Shadow Baby, can't...
Well, and he sees something in
yeah,
the fire.
Right,
and
yeah.
at the
flames.
End of the scene, I mean, it could just be like, you know, an in and out. Or something burger. I mean, and then, but I mean, who knows? He sees something clearly.
Yeah.
So there's something to the magic, but you know, I don't know. I don't really. She's not my favorite. So
yeah.
I was kind of hoping he was just going to finish her off.
Yeah. I mean, I would have loved to have seen that. I guess my guess would be that maybe he saw himself on the throne with a crown,
right.
which I've only read the second book, so this is pure speculation here. But maybe that means that he'll. Get on the throne and then get killed immediately because
yeah,
I can't imagine
good.
Him holding it. But that's kind of what I took it at to be is probably he saw himself with a throne. Or maybe her magic isn't the best other
right.
than making shadow babies. All she can do is make shadow babies.
Yeah.
Or maybe her magic was showing him something that isn't really going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure.
Maybe they're both really bad at reading flames.
They're not the best flame readers in the
yeah.
world.
Something I liked that he did is he actually confronted his actions, though. He was like, I murdered my brother. And that's something that Theon also did this episode,
right.
is kind of reflected on their actions. So it was nice to see that internal logic going on screen.
Yeah, a lot of honest sort of, yeah, internal reflections this episode, even from Tyrion, too.
You know what I liked that Stannis said was we get this out of him that he actually was depressed about killing Renly.
Mm-hmm.
We finally get that out of him, that he wasn't happy about it, that, oh my god, I can't believe I had to kill my brother and I haven't gotten anything from it. What have I done? That moment. And I like that moment from him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the first time he actually even considered it or thought about
right.
it, gave it any thought at all. And I like that line where he said to Melisandre, he said, you promise these things that you don't know and none of us know. I feel like that happens every day. And that's sort of what I really thought the homily of
that's
the show was.
It's probably that whole idea of a fortune teller, someone who believes a fortune teller because they're right once,
yeah.
even though they're
mm-hmm.
wrong every single other
right.
time.
But all they need to be is right one time.
Right, as long as you're right one time. But speaking of magic, let's move on to Pyat Pree and Daenerys, aka Khaleesi, and the House of the Undying.
Yes.
Finally,
round of applause.
They've been teasing this for like five episodes, I feel like.
What I want to say is I feel like the finale, we got the most action from the storylines that we didn't see all season. The finale was those storylines finally coming through and paying off.
Totally.
Yeah, I agree. It did seem that way because the whole most of it was for last episode, episode 9. But I guess it sort of worked in a sense because this was an exciting finale because of that. And so we almost had a double finale when you think about it.
The book version of Jon Snow and Daenerys' storyline was very, like, boring and, like, not too much happened. And a lot of, like, fans were kind of speculating as to what they would do to sort of spruce up their stories. And I think that they really did an amazing job, like, just transforming what really happened to those two characters.
Well, I'd say specifically Daenerys'.
Yeah, absolutely.
They transformed because the whole 13 assassination was cool. Although I did actually like the House of the Undying a little more in the books because there are a lot of these rooms that had the creepiest crap in it ever in the books, like antler horns and things that you've seen in Nine Inch Nails music video would fit perfectly into the House of the Undying, and we didn't really get any of that, so I guess you can't. I don't know. It's HBO. They could show that stuff.
But we can.
But again, that's true. But this, it comes down to they don't spend enough time on that storyline.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that storyline deserves more time.
Yeah.
You know, so they cut it.
You know,
and we only get a couple of the rooms. And I think it deserves more. I mean, I think it's the strongest storyline.
Yeah.
So
what did you think of the whole Winter Iron Throne scene before she goes to the wall?
Very cool.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that. It was, you know, it's interesting. You at first, I mean, being the first room she walks into, you're not sure what's going on. And then as you start to see that they're, you know, they've placed all these, you know, enticements in front of her.
Desires.
Yeah, and all these desires. It was neat. I liked it. I liked the way they did it.
Although I'm wondering, because they had the Iron Throne there, which is her major desire. Her other one's Khal Drogo.
Mm-hmm.
But she sort of had to walk through the outskirts of the wall to get there. At least that's what it looked like to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how that would fit in, but I agree with you. Those were definitely her strong desires. I'm just wondering why the wall was part of that, other than maybe to show this bleakness. But I'm just sort of wondering.
Maybe she desires Snow.
Let's come back to that.
She desires Jon Snow.
Okay, I've talked about this with Dave before, and in the end, I would really be happy if Jon Snow and Daenerys got together on the throne.
All right, I like that. Be a good pair.
That's her favorite thing to talk about ever.
I was excited to see Jason Momoa come back for a cameo.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome. There was some speculation or rumors swirling around the internet earlier this season whether or not he would come back and make a cameo. So that was kind of cool.
Was there also speculation on the fact that a 2-month-old baby could have a full long head of hair?
Yeah. Obviously, that baby had never lost a battle like his father. never got a haircut.
I'm going to go ahead and say I think that might be a wig. Everybody else wear wigs in the show. Yeah. Baby wigs. I don't see why not.
That was a hell of a lot of hair on a baby.
I just say that apparently Khal Drogo and Daenerys, handsome baby. That's all it is.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to say. They make some good babies.
I like it.
So then we get that after this, the Pyat Pree scene with the dragons. We finally get to see some action with the dragons shooting fireballs.
Chikaros.
Yeah, I love that. I loved how it was kind of an homage to the finale of last season where Daenerys, again, can't be beaten by fire. So it's a really awesome visual to be left with for this season. And yeah, I love the Dracarys moment. That was awesome.
They just break out of the chains.
Yeah.
I need a dragon.
Yeah.
I need a little dragon.
And a direwolf.
Yeah, and a direwolf.
You know, that's
what I've gotten
thing
from this show.
Is Daenerys and Jon Snow, they're both isolated stories, not really involved in Westeros yet. So I'm really excited for them to come together, and I'm not sure if that's going to happen in book three or next season, but I want to know, when is winter coming?
I know. I mean, they've been talking about it for a long freaking time.
You know what? We've actually got... I'm going to go ahead and say this fan thing early because that relates to what one of our fans said. Sande on Twitter asked us, what's the Stark's motto when it is winter?
Summer.
Winter is here.
Summer is coming.
Winter is going to get worse.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
We told you.
It's going to be a long winter.
Winter is still coming.
Yeah.
Right.
It will continue. So I thought that was pretty funny. I think they were actually wondering if there's a real answer. I don't think there is. I just thought that was funny.
I don't know that there is, to be honest, but we can still speculate.
That's yes. Better.
Can we talk about duck sauce a little bit?
Yes, let's talk about duck sauce. So, duck sauce, I loved seeing what was in his vault. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was amazing.
A great
and
moment.
And she's like, thank you. You taught me a very valid lesson.
Awesome.
And that's kind of like the L.A. lesson, in my opinion.
That's true.
That whole totally room is. Of fake jewels and everything, that is the L.A. lesson right there. You get there and you think it's all real, but it's really all a lie.
Yeah.
Look at that. I mean, geez, I love that.
Yeah.
Awesome comparison.
And what a great way to
Eric was talking to Kristen earlier before we started about her move out to L.A. Is this making you wonder what her move has been like?
How many false promises she's got?
Let's say I have a dragon in my clothes.
Yeah, seriously. I love the way that that she put duck sauce down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was great too. Just lock
just toss
them in the vault.
Them in, lock them up, and you just wonder, you know, like who's gonna eat who.
Yes, I was just gonna say.
This is gonna be great.
Who's gonna break in first?
This is a very zombie episode.
Yeah, it is.
You know what? I'm gonna imagine that the vault is Miami, Florida. And that's why there's going to be face eating going
God.
On.
Yeah. I'm from Miami. That's so embarrassing. As someone from Miami, I'm appalled. I can't even.
Is it wrong that that whole zombie thing that happened in Miami kind of excited me? Like a little part of me kind of wants
wrong.
Like a little part of me kind of wants like a UFO to just come land in my backyard. I would be so stoked about life.
That is
It would be exciting in a way. As long as I still live and move on, I'm okay with it.
You watch too much Walking Dead.
Live Walking Dead.
All right, guys, before we move on to the next storyline, I do need to say that, guys, we release this content totally for free. So any way you can help support us, we'd appreciate that, whether that be going to iTunes or the YouTube version of the show and commenting or rating us. We love reading the comments. We'll respond. Go to the live chat. As we've been talking to you guys on the live chat right now, AfterBuzzTV.com. You can chat with us, hang with us, or you can click on the Amazon link on the top right. If you click on it, it will take you to Amazon. You can buy whatever you're going to buy in the first place for the exact same price you're going to buy it anyways. No added cost. Just clicking on that link will help you buy Dragon Fact books, Globies, Zoro duck sauce brand duck sauce.
Which
whatever
really
you need.
Now because he's dead.
This amazing sword.
Yep.
And look how sharp it is. Look at the detail and fine. Oh, wow. That hurt. That was a little sharp. So you can get that all from Amazon by clicking on our link. So let's
Boom.
Move on.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. Let's move on then to Winterfell. Well, before we go to Winterfell, actually, let's talk about the Starks, specifically Robb Stark and Catelyn having a little argument there.
It's dangerous to cross Walter Frey, but it looks like we just crossed him.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was
they don't
really
care.
Kind of surprised about the wedding. How did you guys feel about it?
I just want to know how many Game of Thrones fans are going to have that wedding. Like in the next 6 months.
Oh my gosh.
Like how many Game of Thrones.
Warrior.
Yes.
Mother.
I mean, you know what's
soldier.
Happening.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go do it.
You know the people like watching tonight were like, we're doing that.
Yeah. I'm ready to do it right now. Any takers?
Yeah, we're doing this.
Just kidding.
I think I've seen a few on the YouTube and
really?
Twitter. Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yes.
We're getting
you
picture sent
that.
In right now.
Okay, because I need
Here
some
go,
choices.
Takers?
Yeah.
You know you want that.
I do kind of want that. Zombies, UFOs, marriage. Let's do it.
Proposals.
I mean, I think that wedding just shows how young and brash and sort of reckless mm-hmm. Robb Stark is. He's trying so hard to be a king. I think we see a lot of people in this show who are pretending and trying really hard to be someone mm-hmm. that they're not. But obviously, at this point, he's not wise enough to heed the advice of his mother as far as adhering to his agreement with Walder Frey. So I just think that he's a young king making young, sort of reckless decisions, like his mother said.
I disagree.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. I don't think, only because I think that, I don't know, I feel like he's... His mother went in and made the proposal. Yes, he said okay. He's through the bridge. I mean, he doesn't know where he's going to be in, you know, 6 hours, much less 6 months. I feel like it's a decision that he's like, you know, I can deal with the consequences later. And if I am king, in which, you know, is where I want to be, then that's something that I will be able to, you know, clean up, you know, once I am king.
Why can't he just have a Joffrey version loophole? Well, this arrangement was made before Ned got killed, so now it's not valid anymore, right?
And he's already crossed the bridge. What are they going to do?
Something I want to say is I really blame this whole marriage on Catelyn. I mean, Talisa easily becomes his number one woman who has not betrayed him.
Right.
Of course he's going to run to her, and she's also helping him figure out who he is as a person, and Catelyn is the one who went behind his back and could cost him the war. And it's like sort of the situation when the child is forced to become the parent. I mean, Rob had to take on like the logical role of making a responsible decision.
Right.
So real quick, Kurt Pop is a taker, Kristen. Just
oh,
so you
nice.
Know.
Oh,
Kurt
nice.
Pop, send us a picture.
I think I need a picture.
We need pictures.
I think Rob and Catelyn's discussion was also good, where Catelyn's trying to make a point of her and Ned's marriage, where she didn't know Ned beforehand, mm-hmm. but look how well it worked. And Rob's like, well, that doesn't mean it's going to work for me just because it worked for you, which is a great point. But Catelyn just doesn't see it that way because she believes so much in duty and do your duty, do your honor. And so.
But treat your oath recklessly and the people will do the same.
Yeah, and let's be honest. I mean, she's not like hard on the eyes. I mean, these daughters were.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, come on. You know, I mean, if I'm going to battle, you know, I at least want like a hot wife for a minute, you know, before I go, like, get a sword in the chest.
Right.
I mean,
well, or in the groin.
Or, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Or however Brienne did it. Yeah, I mean, exactly.
I gotta say, like, I don't blame Rob because, I mean, it's such a desperate world that they're living in. Like, you want to grasp to onto anything real that you can, and this seems to be the only real thing that's in front of him right now. So I don't blame him for doing what he's doing, but I will say on the record, it's not a wise decision.
You know what? Some of the Walder Frey daughters are okay, according to Catelyn. That was what she said in season one. There's some okay ones. But let's move on then to Brienne and Jaime on the run. And they come across some hanging girls, and Brienne won't stand for them not getting buried very much for having honor and dignity, really. Just do the dignity of burying them. And I thought this was a pretty badass scene. I like seeing Brienne in action.
For sure.
Brienne is so big, she could literally just spin in like a 360-degree circle and just kill everyone.
She
like,
did do that.
She did.
But two swords at once. One sword, one dagger, spinning in circles.
That neck slice back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just like back there. Didn't even see anybody. But I loved how they said...
In the beginning.
What?
I thought you were going to say how, and Jamie was like saying, oh, you'd love to know what it was like to feel like a woman.
Oh, yeah. I love that stuff too. But I was going to say, I loved how they said, count to three and tell us what his real name is.
Yeah.
Like, that was awesome.
So smart.
I thought that was such a great, I've never for some reason thought of something like
that. Yeah.
I don't know why.
There you go, FBI, learning from Game of Thrones.
It seems like such a smart way to interrogate someone.
Yeah. Or maybe an interrogation tactic they used in L.A. Noir.
Exactly. Yes.
If you guys don't know, Eric is actually the hero in L.A. Noir.
No, not in L.A. Noir.
Oh.
Infamous 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Infamous 2.
Okay.
But I do like L.A. Noir.
He's also in L.A. Noir. He's in voiceover.
So I thought, like you guys said, the murder scene, awesome. Spinning in circles and killing people. I'm all about that. And I as well liked Jamie kind of trying to like break into Brienne of like, I bet you just want a man to overpower you, don't you?
Yeah.
So
because you want them together.
I think they're going to end up together. And this is a prediction. I think they're going to.
I wonder with the Hound because he's kind of like huge like her.
Yeah.
Nice coupling.
But this is speculation for me now. No spoilers. This is speculation.
But you
guys.
Think Brienne and Jamie are going to end up together?
Just because they have so much in common and they're doing this adventure together, I almost feel like something is going to happen with them.
He was kind of flirting.
Yeah, after he saw what she
did,
Jamie, it was a great
Jamie
moment.
Flirts with everybody, though. Yeah. Jamie was flirting with Catelyn when Catelyn, he's like, I bet you just want to break off these chains on me so we can have sex, right, Catelyn?
But now he's definitely impressed by everything
he
just saw.
Oh, yeah, no, there was a moment of like, damn.
Yeah, exactly.
This girl's for real.
Exactly.
And how about where she put that sword? Can we talk talk about that?
That was awesome.
Can we not talk about that?
Did it go where I thought it went?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Looked horrible.
It did.
Horribly painful.
I crossed my legs and put my arms down and guard as that happened.
That is awesome.
I was like, not happening over here.
And you threw the sword.
And then I threw the sword. I just threw it at everybody in the room. I'm like, get away! Let's move on to Winterfell now. And Theon is surrounded, and that damn horn keeps blasting somebody. And he's having a great conversation with Maester Luwyn about what should he do. And I love this moment. It wasn't it was different in the books, and I love the way they did in the show. I thought it was way better because it really gave him emotion. It gave him humanity.
Yes.
It made him seem like he really regretted what he was doing in a sense and kind of didn't know what he was doing. And I thought it was great. I love this scene.
Yeah, I love when the characters actually confront their actions, just like Stannis did.
Yeah, I think this was some of Alfie Allen's best work to date. Like, and I'm really not a huge Theon fan just because he just seemed like such a despicable sort of one-dimensional character. But this really just gave us like a window inside his heart and his soul and his mind and what's been going through his head. And I interviewed Alfie Allen the other day, and I asked him, what is Theon's biggest fear? What is his greatest fear? And he said that Theon just wants to be remembered. He wants to be respected. Mm-hmm. And I think that really came across in this monologue with Maester Luwyn. His worst fear is like just being not remembered.
Yeah, I mean, he's fought against it his whole life. He's never felt like he's had a place, you know? And it was like he finally went home and, you know, he made that decision because he was like, wow, okay, I've got a place here, you know? But really he didn't. His sister trumped that and his dad did, you know? But he finally, for the first time, I think, felt like he garnered some sort of respect.
Yeah.
And he got clocked in the back of the head.
Well, it seemed like he woke up because Luwyn was telling him, you know, I really think you should run away in the middle of the night. And he's like, no. And he gave that amazing speech.
Right.
I thought that was
really
hilarious.
That's kind of like one of the sad things about the character, but also really respectable. Like that moment when he says, like, run away, it's like that's what he's done. You know, he's always taken, like, he's stayed with the Starks, and then he betrayed them and went to his family, and then he ran, you know, he's always kind of taken that route. And so this was going to be his way of, like, look, I might go down, we will go down, but I'm at least going to go down fighting so that I can, you know, do it the right way for one time in my life and do it respectable.
I totally agree. I felt like he finally found himself in that moment. Only to be taken down,
which is betrayed by his men.
See, totally. I feel like this is worth mentioning because it's so different from the book. In the book, he does it totally the opposite way, where he goes out, and at this point, Sir Roderick's still alive in the books, and he threatens Sir Roderick, like, hey, if you attack my castle, look up at the battlements, look up at the wall, and he has Sir Roderick's daughter strung up by a noose, and is like, if you attack me, I'm going to hang your daughter, just so you know. So he's really despicable in the books and what he tries to do. And that's why I'm saying I like what he did here. I like that he tries to – I agree with what you said. I think he almost tried to do the honorable thing. The wall, in a sense, is an honorable way, but I like that. And I also love the speech for the sense of that turnaround where it had the inspiring music. Like, look, this is inspiring. I'm getting my people going and they're chanting and all of a sudden –
Was it all a joke? They were just pretending to go along with him.
That's what it looked like.
I mean, that's what makes it so sad, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's actually at the heart of a very sympathetic character when you break down who this guy is. You know, he's tough to watch because you're like, oh God, and the actor does a really good job of justifying his moves, you know, and why he's doing the things that he's doing, which is really important.
Yeah, I think Alfie Allen's been doing a terrific acting job.
Absolutely. And I think this is like the pinnacle of it. And if we assume that he's dead, it's just like so sad that like even to his death, he was never respected by his own people.
Oh, do you think we should assume he's dead?
I'm just saying if we assume that.
Yeah. The only reason I say that is because when they did, they put a hood on him, so I figured they were just going to drag him with them to their...
I mean, are they taking him, do you guys think?
Yeah.
Because Winterfell fell. It's burned to the ground.
I figure they're going home and,
there.
You know, come next season, they're going to pull the hood and he's going to be like, what the hell?
There is a line that Theon had in this episode where he says, like, well, I've gone too far to be anything else, or I've gone too far to turn back. And, like, I don't know why. I don't know if there's any Breaking Bad fans out there, but that really evoked some Walter White for me because, like, Walter White... White has just gotten to this point where he can't even turn back if he wants to. He's gotten so far. So I almost saw that a little bit in Theon. I don't know why I made that
comparison. That's a great point.
Let's move on then to the other part of Winterfell, which is Hodor, Osha, Bran, and Rickon all emerging and seeing it on fire, and that it has been burnt down to the ground and sacked completely. So this was, again, a little different with Osha appearing, where Bran was the strong one who wanted to go in the book, which is, it's a minor difference. It doesn't matter that much. But they then find Lewin dying. What did you guys think?
That didn't happen in the book?
They did find him dying. I just mean Bran was the one who wanted them to go up. That's the only difference. Whereas in this one, he's like, why are we going up?
Yeah, he kind of wants to stay and either help Lewin or go down to the south. I'm just so excited to see the journey of those four. I think it's going to be so fun to watch them. Like, because we see a lot of stuff that goes on in the south, but we don't really see what goes on between Winterfell and the Wall. So it'll be fun to sort of explore that territory with those four.
Yeah.
I'm really excited that they're going to Jon for protection, because I've been wanting him to come back to his family, and now his family has finally come to him.
Right now he's kind of...
want more Jon. I don't blame you.
Right now he's kind of going...
Hopefully he heard my marriage proposal.
He's been going the wrong way, though. He's kind of been heading north away from them.
Yeah,
for the moment. He's way out beyond the Wall now, so hopefully they will find them.
Everyone's going in the right direction.
It's going to be a long trek.
Yes. That
long,
definitely will
cold
be.
Cold trek.
Yeah. Winter's coming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, can we also mention, real quick, Hodor?
Yeah.
The soft whisper of Hodor.
It was so, like, just, like, sad and sympathetic, like, Hodor. Like, Hodor.
I didn't know he was capable of that.
I know, me neither. Such depth of emotion. I didn't expect that from him.
A realization.
Thanks, guys.
So, quick question. Why didn't Maester Lewin want Milk of the Poppy? Why did he just want the knife?
I think he's just, at least in the books, he came off as like, look, I've been meaning to die. It's my time. I don't need Milk of the Poppy. I'm old. It's my time to die. I don't need something to make it like lessen the fact that I'm dying.
I know what my end is.
Yeah.
This is it.
And maybe also, like, as a maester, like, he's given so many people the Milk of the Poppy. Maybe it just sort of
took a weak way out.
Right. He's seen it do things that he doesn't want to be a part of. So.
Right. All right. Let's move on then to one of my favorite storylines, Arya.
Yeah.
Because a man enjoys watching Jaqen H'ghar.
So at our recap episode at the MTV Suites, I talked about this. We did a recap episode. It's available on iTunes for you guys who haven't seen it. Just recapping.
Whole season 9. Season 2
right.
Recap.
And I was talking about how I was really hoping that Jaqen was going to follow them.
Me too.
Continue on the journey. But I'm not quite sure why he wants her to come with him to Braavos.
God, why wouldn't she go? I was like, this would be a badass storyline. She goes like in trains, like Count of Monte Cristo style, and then she comes back, and like that storyline is her just picking people off.
I want to see her become a faceless woman.
Faceless woman.
That would
be so
awesome.
Dope.
That would. I mean,
and
I,
she'd never be able to really tell her brothers, you know, or family that it's her, but she'd be right next to them, you know, like picking people off and protecting them from afar.
Like a really guardian
close.
Angel.
Oh, it's such a good storyline.
I mean, I definitely prefer the first face, but I'll
yeah,
take
you were
him
bummed,
no matter what.
You were bummed when he switched faces.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I hear you. What's
I'm gonna
next,
miss that
by the
face.
Way? Because he's going to keep switching.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he'll get another face eventually that you
know
really
what?
Like.
Yeah, maybe
that would
it'll be
very
even hotter.
Fun
like
husband.
This face right here.
Yeah.
That would be
exactly
awesome.
Like that.
Saw a face from this side of the table.
Exactly like that.
If you were to marry a man like that, it would always be exciting.
Or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then he switches to the
what
ugly
if he
face
to the,
like,
the other one.
I just want some craziness in my life, I guess.
Let's see if we've come up with any.
There was one dagger that I mentioned before.
We asked for a picture and nothing came.
Oh, that's sad. I guess.
Hiding behind the
anonymity. Yeah, they had an anonymous mask on.
That's fine.
Oh, wow. They're like Jaqen then. They're faceless.
They're
faceless.
Just like Jaqen.
I'm fine with that.
Kristen's faceless suitors.
Yeah, that's right. Scars, please. Scars,
but
welcome.
You think that Braavos is the exact place for Arya, because that's also where Syrio's from.
Yes.
So it seems like Arya's calling is Braavos in a sense.
And I'm really hoping that Syrio is still alive. The actor actually said that he would be love to do a show with us come November, so you guys should look forward to that.
Yeah.
We'll have a bonus episode for
you
guys.
Yeah, like a mid-off-season.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Jaqen giving Arya his coin and saying, Valamor Gurris.
Yeah, so you know he's coming back.
Yeah, he's definitely coming back.
You don't get that coin and not cash that in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Valamorgulis. Which was also trending on Twitter if you want to join in on that trend.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know. Hashtag Valamorgulis.
Yeah.
If you can figure out how to spell it. I don't actually.
Yeah, it was the title of the episode. So that's true. That.
But why does he want Arya to go there?
I think he wants to train her, doesn't he? I mean, you don't think that there's more than
that? I mean, that would be fun, but I'm just like, why does this man so
A man has respect for Arya.
I think he likes her. I think he's got a crush on her.
Yeah, maybe. That's kind of what it seems like, but big man, little girl.
Maybe his next face is going to be like Justin Bieber. He's going to be 18 and
they'll
make
be well matched.
Yeah, they'll be well matched.
Nicely done, sir.
Nice. I got the full laughter.
Yeah.
That was good.
That's awesome.
Nice.
A man would enjoy company from Arya. I just like saying a man would like to talk about the wall. Let's move on then to Rattleshirt, Corrin Halfhand, and Ygritte all hanging out with Jon Snow and walking there. And Corrin Halfhand having that huge fight with Jon Snow. I know Simone and I kind of wanted to talk about this a little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we can go ahead and talk about this because
I think it's safe.
It's not going
point.
To be explained.
The fight?
Yeah. It's like, so... In the book, there was a lot more to this fight. So basically in the book, Corrin Halfhand tells Jon Snow, he pulls him aside and says, I'm going to need you to kill me. And I need you to be like an embedded sort of source with the wildlings. I need you to meet the king beyond the wall, which is Mance Rayder. I need you to find out his plans and... to go back to the wall and report on these findings so that we can actually have a chance defeating this army. And we didn't really get that from the episode.
So that was that little conversation they had before he pushed him down the hill last episode.
That's what I said. Whenever we brought it up, I was like, actually, I feel like he's faking it because it was a nice exchange. And then suddenly he was just like,
Rah! It looked like that. I thought when they started fighting today that it was going to be a fake fight.
Okay.
I figured it was staged because of the conversation. But then when he killed him,
you're just like, whoa!
I was like, wow. I mean, I honestly thought at one point they were going to, like, slice each other's things and try to take the guy. I mean, I didn't know how it was going to
work. I guess that's good because Simone and I thought maybe it was a little too subtle.
It was a little subtle.
Because it's very written out in the books of, like, John's really worried about it because he's like, what? I just want to be faithful to the wall. I do not want to betray them. I'd rather die.
Mm-hmm.
And Corrin is totally cool. And Corrin's also totally cool with the fact that John didn't kill Ygritte, which here in the show he wasn't cool with it. But he's like... Look, this is the part you need to play. If it comes to it, you need to do what you need to do.
Yeah, and there's a great line that's escaping me right now, but basically Corrin tells him, like, whatever you have to do to make them believe that you're one of them, do it. And that's something that really comes in later on. So we sort of understand where Jon Snow's head is at. But, yeah, I'm glad that you were able to pick up on that because I thought that it was a little vague as far as, like, Corrin wanting him to kill him.
Well, they definitely had that moment, and then he pushed him down. And then Ingrid actually, there was a brief moment where Ingrid looked and she clocked that they had some sort of exchange there, but didn't say anything because you know she has a thing for him,
right?
But
look at the way Simone's smiling as he says that.
Rob, how many others? Rob,
I just love Kit.
Oh, just him. Okay, we definitely didn't get that much out of it.
Yeah.
I think
in the show, Corrin puts a lot more trust in Jon Snow because you could see even in the fight, Jon had these faces of like confusion, like, what am I doing right now? Like, I don't want to kill you. Like, why are you fighting me? And then in the end, Corrin tells Jon, like, you know, we are the watchers of the wall. And I think that is like the last little nugget that he wants to leave Jon with. Like, you're doing this. You're still a man of the Night's Watch. Like, you have to do this. For us.
Right. But again, I'm glad that you guys were able to pick up on that because I wasn't sure because I don't know if I would have picked up on it without having read the book.
Right.
So. There, I was a little still confused, so I'm glad that you guys clarified that for me.
But let's move on to an exciting scene with Sam. Sam hanging out, talking about Gilly and how Gilly still has hope. So guys, we can still have hope. And Gren kind of tells him, like, well, you had 6 words with Gilly, buddy. You can't really...
Probably 6 more words than any other female has ever spoken to him. So hold on to those,
Sam. Yeah, hold on to those, Sam. But Zombie White Walkers. Yes!
Yeah. And Horse White Walkers.
Yeah, Horse White Walkers.
That was great.
They look a bit like Iced Predators, right?
Yeah.
That's what Kit said.
They kind of remind me of the Ringwraith horses in Lord of the Rings that have, like, the glowing eyes, like, evil horses.
It did a little bit. I like that the one rider who just gives Sam that look. Man, that was a menacing White Walker.
Seriously.
Okay, was that Uncle Benjen, like... Hey.
I don't know, but why? I think Kristen, I think you mentioned it when we were watching it, but why didn't he grab the, like, whatever weapons they found last week? Like the dragon teeth or dragon stone, glass.
Mm-hmm.
They were supposed to kill. Why didn't he, didn't he have those on him?
They were, like, on the ground beside
him,
and then
right
he ran
there.
Away. And I felt like that was what was going to save him from them if they did attack him.
I thought that was what he was going to go for, too, and then he didn't. He just ran and
behind a stone.
He got a little nervous.
And probably beat his pants.
It's because they wanted to give that one shot. That's why. You needed that shot rising above the rock.
That's true.
To see all the White Walkers coming.
So is Sam going to be okay?
It is too bad, though, not seeing Sam be a little badass, because you definitely want that out of him.
I think we'll probably see it. I feel like that's where they're going.
He can't be okay.
He's not going to be okay.
I mean, come on. I mean, if we've heard this much about White Walkers and 5,000 of them let him go,
I mean,
then all of a sudden,
him.
I'm not that
the,
scared.
The one
of
on the
anymore.
Horse looked right at him
looked
and went,
right at him.
I think he's going to be fine.
And then, but then it kept.
Right.
But,
well, you love Sam.
Well, here's the. She loves everybody.
You love Sam.
Here's the thing
you
that I have Sam's babies.
No. my name is Gilly.
Here's the thing, though. The thing that. Is they kept on walking for some reason. I didn't know exactly why they didn't decide to just kill him and move on.
That's
but they
thought,
like,
it was Uncle Benjen.
And kept going.
Do you guys think that was him? Because it resembled him. Like, he had the long hair and stuff. And I'm not sure why they would make a White Walker look exactly like Uncle Benjen, still on his horse, if it wasn't supposed to be him.
You know what, though? I feel like usually White Walkers look more like their original person. And Uncle Benjen had black hair, like a Stark. Usually has darker hair and... I mean, I'm not sure, but I feel like he would look more like Uncle Benjen did.
But
the
why
ones
would
you
they?
Know.
Yeah,
the White
ones
Walkers you know.
All the White Walkers I know.
Right.
I mean,
that you socialize
we might
with.
Hang out beyond the wall every now and then.
Right. I got you.
Sometimes. It's cool.
I don't know. I just don't see the point in the writers making someone look very like Uncle Benjen if it wasn't supposed to be him. So I'm going to say that is.
You might be right. We'll see.
All right, guys.
I have no clue.
So before we move on, we're going to talk a little bit with Eric, our special guest, talk about some season 3 news and some special reports for you guys. But before we do that, I do want to mention that you guys should check out Gamefly. I think you guys should check it out for maybe the new Game of Thrones game that just came out, maybe for Infamous 2, possibly. Mm-hmm. Go to Gamefly.com/AfterBuzzTV and you will get a special 15-day free trial. And for those of you who don't know, Gamefly is like the Netflix of video games. You can order all the games you want, not have to pay $60 for one game. It's a great discount. I think you guys should try it, and definitely try Infamous 2, Left 4 Dead maybe.
Yeah.
Why not L.A. Noir?
Those
are some games maybe you should
and
guys should try.
Gamefly is dope too, because people like me, like, you know, it takes forever to finish a game. There's no due date, you know.
Yeah.
Turn it back whenever.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Good.
So, yeah, check it out, guys. AfterBuzz TV right after Gamefly.com, and we will cut to commercial.
Hey, guys, so what do you get when real single ladies are super fans of VH1 Single Ladies? Well, you get the after show on AfterBuzz TV. I'm Lauren Turner.
I'm Spicy Mighty, bringing you that fire.
And I'm Fallon Mercedes. And we're single ladies, so make sure you watch us on AfterBuzz TV.
We're all the single ladies. All the single ladies. All the single ladies.
Hey guys, it's JC, host of The Bachelorette, here on AfterBuzz TV.
Hey, I'm Chrisley. I've been on Bachelor and Bachelor Pad for the Inside Scoop. You want to check us out?
And if you're looking for an opinion, I've got one. I'm Canton Bliss.
And I'm your relationship expert, Jenna Couture.
I'm Kathy Kelly, and I bring you all your Bachelor and Bachelorette news.
All this at 10 p.m. Pacific on AfterBuzz TV.
Hey guys, this is the AfterBuzz TV crew for The Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Woo!
Don't forget to tune in every Monday night at 8 p.m. to see
Adrian Barrow,
Deanna Vaughn,
Susan Hahn,
Giselle Ugardi.
Buzz you later!
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about?
All right, guys. So before we go and talk about season 3, let's talk about our special guest, Eric Layden. So, Eric, you are here, and I believe The Killing, there's a big episode coming up for you guys. You want to talk about that?
Well, yeah, there's a big episode every
big
Sunday
episode.
night. if you're not watching Game of Thrones, and if you're watching this show, you're probably not a Game of Thrones fan, so you're probably usually watching The Killing. The Killing also airs on Sunday nights, and yeah, we've got the season finale, two seasons in the making. We will find out who killed Rosie Larson in 2 weeks.
Yeah, because wow. I believe season one, people, that's all they wanted was to find out, so here you finally get to.
We have dragged it out.
Is it possible we have a killer at hand?
Sure. It is possible. Me being part of the cast, it is absolutely possible.
This is like the game of Clue.
It is. It's just like the game of Clue. Of course, I can't say anything, much right. like all good shows on television. I'm sworn to secrecy, or they'll take my firstborn baby with lots of hair, like Khal Drogo's.
If you're lucky.
If I'm lucky.
Are you excited to see people's reactions for when they find out who did
it? Yes, I'm so excited. I'm excited because, A, people yell at me on the streets, and so I'm excited to not have that anymore. Like,
Please stop yelling.
Yeah, I love people to tell me that they love the show and all that, mm-hmm. but not, why don't we know who killed Rosie Larson? because I didn't write the show. I'm just in the show. Honestly, I think that the season ended the way it should. I think it's most people who are avid TV fans, watchers, aficionados understood why we did it, and they did it the way they did.
So. Yeah. So I want to talk to you a little bit about your voice acting career, because I am an avid gamer, so seeing that you're a part of Infamous 2, and Simone's as well. Infamous 2, probably one of the biggest PS3 games. Yeah. That's awesome that you're part of that. What has it been like doing voiceover for games as opposed to your typical acting career?
It's been incredible. Infamous 2 was my first game in which I did motion capture. Well, that's a lie. I did some motion capture on L.A. Noire, but yeah. But Infamous 2 was a year and a half process in which I did voice and motion capture, and really kind of tackled it just as I would TV and film, because I was taking on a character's not only voice like you would in voice acting, but also walking and talking and doing all the action. Stunt oriented job, a lot of jumping, climbing.
And they actually had running. You enact those for Infamous 2?
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. It sure was awesome. I was in a harness flying around a soundstage.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
I knew that they did a lot of that, but I didn't realize they had the actors do that, voice actors for a lot of those projects. That's cool to hear.
Yeah.
I think we should point this out, because you had to correct me that they do use Cole McGrath in Street Fighter Cross Tekken. But you're not the voice for that.
I am not. They have publicized me as the voice of that, but they found someone else because of contractual reasons.
Yeah,
that I shouldn't elaborate on.
I could understand that. But you've been a part of a lot of big projects, Mad Men, Big Love. Mm-hmm. What are you looking to do now that The Killing has its finale coming up? Do you have any projects in the works?
I do. I have some things lined up. I'm looking at a couple different movie projects over the summer that hopefully would take me through the next few months. And, I'd love to I happen to think TV's just at a really like great golden age. I think
I feel like TV is conquering the film world. Yeah, at this
we definitely
point in
see
time.
Film actors moving to TV,
mm-hmm. and that's not to say that there's things about film that I love and that I wanna do and people I wanna work with and filmmakers I wanna work with, and there's things about film that are fantastic. But I think there's a lot of great TV out there, and so luckily I've afforded myself the I can be picky and I'm reading scripts and just trying to find like that next great role that I want to.
Can you tell me
tackle.
About Highland Park real quick, because the town right next to where I grew up is called Highland Park, so that caught my attention.
But that's
and my
Chicago,
rival high
right?
school, yeah.
Yeah.
And my rival high school was Highland Park High School.
Yeah. Well, there is a Highland Park in every town.
Okay, but not right next to where you grew up. Well, not your rival high school.
That's true. Well, unless you grew up next to Highland Park.
Whatever, Eric. I used to like you as a guest. Now it's dwindling.
Now you're done. No, this was Highland Park right outside of Detroit. There's a little area that is really, really was just decimated by the economic downfall. And really like one of the poorest cities in the country, and it's a little story about basically a group of
we
six
can
people
say
who
that
work
about my Highland Park, by the way, because I hate them. They're the poor. They're
oh really?
Yeah,
all
totally.
Right, cool.
They're
yeah.
totally like that.
So just no, insert us into your Highland
yes.
Park. And yeah, it's a little story about six people that work at a school who all get together and play the lottery together, and we eventually win the lottery, and it's the story of how we kind of manage with our winnings.
This sounds a lot like HBO's Luck.
Yeah, but we didn't kill horses.
Oh,
yeah. Was it what? We didn't. We
so,
really didn't.
So I do want to mention Watchtower Base watches our show all the time, and to shout him out. But also the fact that he says he loves Infamous too. So I'm sure.
Oh, great, Watchtower! He's excited. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Can you tell me what is the vibe like on set at an AMC show? Because that is one of the most creative, innovative networks mm-hmm. out today, and a network that was really able to rebrand itself. And I just love all the programming that comes out of AMC.
You know, it's interesting. I was on Mad Men for a little bit during season 2 and season 3, and you know, they obviously were the tentpole for that network, and they really just like they started the brand that now is, you know, AMC. And so now being on The Killing, when I got that job, it already kind of held the clout of AMC. When I was on Mad Men, it was just kind of earning that clout. So it's exciting. It's exciting when you get on a show that, you know, already kind of carries that brand, because critics – but at the same time, you get that critic, eye that's going to be on that show. And they, you know, you have to be good. It's got to be good because – critics are expecting that. The bar is raised so high that if it's not fantastic, you know, it's you're going to hear about it.
Right.
Well, I think the season premiere was
But the atmosphere
lauded.
Is really great. You know what I mean? I mean, people, we've got really good actors and an incredible crew, and we get great directors. So it's a joy to work on.
Making magic over there.
It's a joy.
Love
to work on.
AMC.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Well, they're not beholden to audiences, so
yeah,
you know, they're
right.
able to really tell great stories mm-hmm. and pick really great projects that they want to tell, as opposed to stories that they think, you know, 18 million viewers a week are going to tune into.
Right.
Yeah,
and that's important.
All right. Well, let's move on then to our season 3 news, so we can talk about season 3 of Game of Thrones.
Yep.
Simone, I believe you have a bunch for us, correct?
Well, I don't have any solid details.
AfterBuzz.
Now I do, because of that sound
effect.
I know. Okay, so there's no actual names that have been thrown out as far as, like, who's been cast
Eric
in season 3. Yeah.
Besides say that.
Breaking news.
Heard it first.
No, but we do know that some roles are, in fact, going to be cast. And these are roles that fans of the books were really, you know, nervous to see. We all want these roles in the show next season. So Queen of Thorns will be cast. Edmure Tully will be cast. Mira and Jojen Reed will be cast.
I was excited to see that because we were confused about them not being included. So.
Yeah.
So they're included now. It's great. It's good to know.
Yeah, so it's going to be really exciting. And the Blackfish is also cast. So I don't know if we have time to go over who all those people are, but you can definitely look
them
up on
that. We probably don't want to spoil all that, too,
right.
for people who haven't seen it.
Right.
But let's also talk about, I believe season 3 is going to be half of book 3. I think it was announced that book 3 has 2 seasons, seasons 3 and 4. Do you guys like that, or do you guys feel like... That's kind
I'm
of a bad
not
thing.
Happy about that.
Really?
I mean, I really love Game of Thrones, and I want it to just go on until past when I'm dead and old. However,
it's a long time.
That is a long time.
I hope.
Yes.
I hope.
I can only hope that George R.R. Martin can continue writing from the grave. But however, I don't want this series to reflect a book at all. I want it to be a standalone piece. And this season, I kind of felt at some points definitely reflected the book more than I'd like. And I feel like they're going to slow down the pacing a lot with dividing the third book into 2 seasons. And hopefully we can carry on the action and not... I love character development, but I felt like we didn't go as fast as I would have liked to through some of the storylines this season.
Unless they can spend more time. I mean, I think there's a way that they could do it where they could actually spend more time on the things that matter most.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it'll behoove them to do that.
Hopefully. We can hope.
Book three is like a behemoth. It's like huge and it's action packed and there's so much that goes on in it. So I understand your apprehension, but I think it could be a good move just because there's so much that has to happen that it might be smart to protract it out over two seasons.
I think it just really depends on the way they do it. And right. This is a lot with book two, where book two just happened to have a lot of exposition in it. And so they had to reflect that in the show. But if season three doesn't, maybe that'll work. But what was hard with season two at some points was there was so much exposition, it kind of made the season drag a bit. And I think Kristen is worried that maybe that'll happen with seasons three and four, since they're combining one book, or they're making one book two seasons. So I guess if they do it well, hopefully it won't matter. We'll get even more Game of Thrones awesomeness.
I will say there's not as much exposition in like character development and dialogue as there was in book two, so that's good. There's definitely a lot more action in season three.
I'm ready. Yeah. Let's kill some people off. Speaking of killing some people off, should we mention our commenters?
Yeah,
oh my god.
I don't know why we're killing them off now.
Okay, I'm only saying that because we always mention the names who leave us wonderful reviews and not so wonderful reviews.
Oh, so
I
we should also mention that we were having some YouTube difficulties, therefore episode 9 and our season 2 recap have not been uploaded to YouTube yet. They should be up sometime soon, guys. For those who only watch on YouTube, sorry you're getting this now. That's what happened.
But
that's
you can download our shows on iTunes, of course.
Yes, yeah, so you can download on iTunes as well.
Okay, a few listeners and watchers from YouTube. Kim Lim, The Andrew Fig, Cal Foster, Mr. Drolic, 777, Re6612, 304 Titties, yep. Unnack78, Re612. And Potoma Hot Fuzz 0071.
Did you say 304? What?
Titties. you really want me to say that again?
No,
come
it
on,
was just
Ronnie.
Funny because I thought I saw them follow.
No, you just got a proposal now.
can I also point out, Kristen, that a man has a face. The guy did send his face picture.
Oh yes.
Can you tweet that to me? I'm at Cinematic.
A man has a face.
Yes, I like this. This is fantastic.
I want to see this man.
We
have this.
We will show you after.
Yes, we will.
Because I'm gonna.
This is great. Thank you for sending the face.
Thank you.
I'm excited about it.
He's a Blue Jays fan. So there's that.
Okay. I can do Blue Jays.
You can do what? This has gone on. Sorry.
This just keeps going
Thank you. I got two left.
iTunes listeners, hopefully your names are just as competitive. Giorgio Patron, Bumpy Sun, Kingslayer 55, Dyson Rios, Guatares, Grand Weepers, BGS Fan 2029. And did you want to talk about any of the questions really quick?
Sure. Bumpy Sun pointed out that Sansa's hairstyles keep changing. I don't know if any of you guys noticed that. I actually didn't notice that, so I think that's kind of cool that he pointed it out. He was wondering about the Hound and if he's trying to change or if he has inner turmoil from his livelihood or childhood. I think a lot of his inner turmoil has to do with the mountain burning his face off.
I agree.
Which we didn't get to mention in episode 9. We did mention in the recap, but that's why he was afraid of the fire, is because the mountain shoved his face into a fire when he was a kid and why he was so freaked out during the Battle of the Blackwater.
I think it's recalling those horrific emotions that he had as a kid being burned.
You carry that stuff with you. Treat your kids kindly, parents.
We do have a question from Jay Holly on the email, which is, where did Magister Moptis get the dragon eggs from?
That's a very good question.
IKEA.
That's where you can buy everything.
Right. Or but you Amazon.com.
Amazon.com.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazon.
Self-assembly required.
I think Simone is correct. He probably got it through going to AfterBuzzTV.com and the Amazon link on the top right.
Yeah.
A few dragons.
I think so.
And we also got another email, which was from Duran Sinclair, which we should also point out. And I guess, do you really want me to do this?
I do really want you to do this. This is the finale of our after show. You need to sing this song.
We asked users to submit songs for us. And with the YouTube being down, we still have one from a couple weeks ago. We already did one of his a couple weeks ago. Here's another one from Kyle Foster. It's titled You Win or You Die. I haven't practiced this.
That's okay.
So this will be straight up. I guess I'll just wrap it then. You win or you die. Tyrion is sly. Joffrey makes Sansa cry. You see dragons in the sky while Littlefinger lies. The White Walkers are revived and walk again while Theon goes crazy and chops off Sir Roderick's head. Drogon is the second coming of Valyrian the Dread. Rob marries a Frey. Hell no, he bangs Talisa instead. This is why I can't get the Game of Thrones out of my head. I'm from Detroit, Eminem.
Speaking
of Detroit. Speaking of Detroit and Eminem.
Straight out of Chicago.
Finale? Chicago Highland Park, not Detroit.
That was right. Too much fun.
Now that that is over, let's talk about season three and what you guys are looking forward to for season three and predictions, as long as they're not real predictions in a way.
You first.
Wow.
Kristen.
Me first, because I have not read the third book, so these are pure and okay. Jon Snow is going to just become king north of the wall and move his troops. He's going to take on all the wildlings that are out there, and I feel like he's just going to rise to the top, because that's why he went to the wall, so he could rise, and I think that's his goal, and that's going to happen. And Daenerys hopefully is getting ships with all that fake gold.
All right.
Interesting.
I guess I'll go next, since I read the second book. I have not read the third, so this is purely speculation now. So everything I've been talking about before, and I had read the second book, but this is now speculation. Will be fun. All right, so the Lannisters. I'll start with them. I think that Tyrion is sly enough. He'll figure out a way to somehow worm his way back on top, despite the fact that he's not Hand of the King. Mm-hmm. I think that Stannis is going to stay in the game and will keep on causing trouble. And I think he'll start winning some battles and causing some mayhem. I think the
With smoke babies.
We
need that.
I think that Daenerys will... She's going to start moving west, but she won't get there in the next season. That would be my...
Maybe there will be pirates.
Yes. Hopefully some pirates. Kristen loves pirates. I think that the Starks, I think they're going to head towards the wall and run into some trouble, and Osha's going to have confliction with wildlings. I think Brienne and Jaime are going to fall for each other. Ugh. I'm saying right now. I think they're going to. I think Theon... I'm not sure about it. I don't know what happened in the books.
So
I don't want to say anything.
I like what Eric said.
Yeah, he's going to wake up.
I think Arya is going to become even more badass, because she always does.
Hopefully faceless.
And hopefully she'll use the coin.
She
I really want to see
the
that coin.
Yes.
I want to
and
see that.
And what will she say?
She will Valor say...
Valor Morghulis.
Yes.
And then from the wall, I think Jon Snow is going to continue fighting for the wildlings and have some horrible conflictions, as he might run into Gren and possibly Sam from the wrong side.
That's going to be a tricky
situation. I think
that's
kind of what's going to happen. Do you have any thoughts?
I think Brienne is going to take the throne.
She could.
Will she become a king or a queen if she takes the throne?
I think she will be. I think her and Jaime will get together.
Oh, okay.
Jaime will slay the king. Slay Joffrey.
Another Kingslayer.
Yeah.
Kingslayer part two.
That's right. And then I think Brienne will become queen.
All right.
It's crazy that his prediction sounds the most legit. Not that your guys' doesn't, because of this voiceover thing. I'm like, it's actually going to happen. Like, I feel like you got to, like, do the AfterBuzz.
Next fall on HBO.
It sounds so official that way.
It does.
You were born with that, or did you train that voice?
Yeah, I bought it.
On Amazon.
And that's right, on
Amazon.com/AfterBuzzTV.
The Woody Man thinks that Sansa's going to marry Littlefinger. Until Arya kills someone, and Arya's gonna kill someone
I
on
think
her list.
That's actually a good. I think
like
Sansa
that.
Might go with Littlefinger.
That could happen.
I could see Littlefinger wanting Sansa just for the connection to Catelyn.
Yeah.
In a really creepy way of,
or
well, I can't have
Catelyn.
You, so I'll get your daughter then.
Yeah, she'll always call her Catelyn.
Yeah.
It's just weird. Messed up.
Oh, Littlefinger. Littlefinger finds all the ways to use the right holes.
I'm going to say Khal Drogo. Khal Drogo's coming back in season three.
She just wants more Jason Momoa. You just want more of every dude. Let's kill off all the girls.
Let's be honest.
Okay.
All right.
Boy crazy.
So, guys, you can find me on Twitter at TheDaveKlein. That's KLEIN. Or at DJK-online.com.
Eric, where can we find you?
We can find Eric on Twitter at Eric Layden. Find me.
I'm Simone Boyce. You can find me on Twitter at Simone Boyce, and also on YouTube.com/SimoneDBoyce.
I'm Kristen Elizabeth Snyder, and you can find me at Cinematic Escape on Twitter, or you can Google or Bing Cinematic Escape and find my blog, where I will be posting all of my special reports this season.
And if you didn't get enough Eric Layden, why don't you just play as him already? Play
exactly.
With him on Infamous 2. Why don't you just play as him? You can control him, make
That's
him
right.
move around.
Play me.
Really
play
fun.
With me.
Okay.
All right, and
on
Ronnie.
That note.
And Ronnie Jr., would you like to
Yeah, Ronnie Jr. Media on Twitter. And again, you guys, the best Game of Thrones after show out there. You guys do it for the official diehard Game of Thrones fans and the people like myself or maybe Christina who don't know Game of Thrones that well, but we still like hearing about the Lannisters and all that stuff. So thank you guys for a great season.
And guys, go ahead and give the season 2 recap a listen. Chris and I recap the whole season leading up to episode 10. So if you miss it, you want to hear what happened, just give that a listen. So we went through the whole season. Lots of fun stuff.
And thank you again, Eric. It's Absolutely. Been great having on this show.
Hey, yes, thanks for having
thanks
me.
Thanks for
thank
joining.
It's been my pleasure. Winter is coming.
All right, guys. We will see you next season. I cannot wait to see more Arya and the King of the North.
And Winter.
King of the North. King of the North.
Winter is coming.
King of the North.
That's right.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.